When we turn to James chapter 2 and read verses 18 through 20, from this portion of God's Word, we can readily see that what we do, our works, very much matter to God. James chapter 2, we want to read verses 18 through 20. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Well, how could God have put it any more plainly than he did right there that our works matter and that we do have to work? In this context, he's speaking about works of obedience out of our faith in God from what we hear in his word. We hear his word and we believe, but we are then obligated to do his will. Ultimately, we're going to be judged upon that basis by our works and whether or not we have done the will of God. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto you, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now already from James chapter 2, we can anticipate the answer that will be given by the Lord on the day of judgment to any that might say, well, Lord, I just believed in you. I didn't do any works. I didn't believe we needed to do any works. Well, that kind of faith is dead. It's no different than the devil's. And we know where they're going to spend their eternity. And all mankind who follows in their steps and only believes and won't obey the Lord will be in the same place. Well, what about those that will say they're doing the Lord's will and will profess that their works are for him? Now, these are not ones that are arguing here that you don't have to do any works. They're doing works and they're claiming them to be in the Lord's authority. But are they in the Lord's authority? Are they really in his name? Are they according to his will? And is it going to be by what we claim, by what we say, or is it going to be according to what we have done and whether it actually is the will of the Father? Well, Jesus says, those who will enter the kingdom of heaven are those who do the will of his Father in heaven. Well, who better to learn from about the will of the Father and the works that we need to do to accomplish his will than from Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God? And that's the focus of our study this morning and what we want to spend our remaining time together this hour to engage in looking at that, to learn more about Christ and his works and what we can learn to follow from him. Now, there are many directions that we can go in a study such as this. We could look at various aspects of Christ's work, and we could be doing that for many hours or days and weeks to come. We need to be doing that on our own and as we come together at various times. But we want to really center our attention this morning on the works of obedience that Christ did and how that serves as an example for us. Now let's first look at his motive for what he did. The motive for Christ and the works that he did. And that was to glorify God. And he taught this in Matthew chapter 5 in that great Sermon on the Mount. In fact, chapter 7 that we were just reading from was also from this same sermon. But earlier in the sermon, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What is the ultimate goal that we have in doing the will of our Father which is in heaven? It is to bring him glory by the things that we do, which is exactly what Christ did in his life. And that's all that he did in his life, was glorifying his Father by doing His works, accomplishing His will. Let's turn to John chapter 15, Gospel of John chapter 15, verses 8 through 11. Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Well, how do we bring glory to God? By bearing much fruit. And how is that fruit born? By our keeping his commandments, as we see in verse 10. But in all of this, Jesus brings it back to his example of obedience to his Father and keeping his Father's commandments and abiding in his love. And if we keep those same commandments, we will have the same love in us. That's God's very purpose. But Christ accomplished that himself. He is the example and our standard in glorifying God by bearing much fruit by his obedience to his Father and keeping his commandments. And he did this to the end. John chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." So Christ practiced his love for his disciples in obedience to his Father, loving them with that love of God to the end. So he did those works of God in loving his disciples to the very end. In chapter 17, John 17 and verse 4, Jesus said, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." So again, he brought his Father glory by doing his Father's work. And he finished that work that he had been given by the Father to do. He did not just partially do his Father's will. He fully and exclusively did his Father's will. Now we want to note that further by looking at some other scriptures. How that, first of all, Christ did nothing of himself. The only thing that he did in his life was his Father's will. Now, there's some that try to mix things up and might try to do a little of the Father's will and say, "Well, I've done the will of God." But are we really doing the will of God when we do some of his will, but then we're engaged in doing our own will some of the time? That's not what Christ did. When he did his Father's will, when he did the works that his Father gave him to do, that's all he did. John chapter 5, let's turn there and read verses 16 through 19. John 5, 16 through 19. "And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." Now this was after he had healed a lame man on this day. And so that upset some of these ones that had a very false understanding of the Sabbath law. And so they were seeking to kill Jesus because he had done this miracle on the Sabbath day. Of course, that raises the question, if that were really against God's will, how could he have done the miracle at all? This was God's witness to him, which was proof that what he did was right and good in his Father's sight. But Jesus is going to answer this. Verse 17, "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." So Jesus was doing what his Father did. And by the way, what does that say about those who argue today that we're not supposed to do any works? That's what the Father did, what he does. That's what the Son did. We're going to be doing something different or not doing what the Father and the Son did and then think we're going to be received of him? That's foolish thinking. In verse 18, he says, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath," of course, by their doctrine, false doctrine, "but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Well, that also, again, was their false understanding. Verse 19, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." And that's the basis of what he said in verse 17. "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." What his Father did, he did. And he's the example of that. And what the Son did, then we need to do. He did what his Father did, we need to do what he did. That's what our task is. That's what our job is. That's our purpose. To find that will of God, to see that as Jesus taught it and exemplified it in following it, and then to walk in his footsteps. In verses 41 to 47 of this same chapter, again, he's dealing with ones who were rejecting him. And they had a problem in that they were wanting to do their own works and therefore were seeking their own glory and were seeking to have glory for themselves from their fellow men. In John 5, verses 41 to 47, Jesus said, "I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" Well, they had an obstacle before them to be able to believe. They couldn't believe because they were not seeking their Father's glory. They were not seeking the glory of God. They were seeking to have man's glory for themselves. And he said, "How can you believe, ye that receive honor one from another?" Well, we can't. So we have to seek to glorify God by doing His will, but we can't seek our own glory by receiving that from men and doing what pleases men and doing the will of man. Jesus didn't do anything of Himself, as He said there earlier in this chapter that we just read. He did nothing of Himself. He only did what He saw His Father do. He did His works and was seeking only His Father's glory. Let's look at John chapter 7, verses 17 and 18. "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Well, Jesus did not speak of himself. He was not seeking his own glory. But how many people are today? How many people are seeking their own glory? And that's reflected by the things that they're doing as they're doing their own works, saying their own words. Well, who's going to get the glory for it if I'm doing something of myself or I'm saying something of myself and it's not of God? Well, the glory can't go to God for that. But if we're seeking our own glory by seeking to do and to say our own things and not what is God's, we're not going to be able to believe in God and we're not going to be able to follow in the footsteps of Christ. As Jesus said again, His doctrine was not His own. His doctrine was that of the one who sent Him. He was speaking the words that His Father gave to Him. And if we have the will to do the Father's will, which is literally what that statement is in verse 17, if any man will do His will, if we will have that will to do the Father's will, if that's our mind, that we're only going to do our Father's will, which is the mind of Christ, then we're going to know that His teachings are true and right because they are only the words of God. Well, this is also what He said in John chapter 12 in verses 48 through 50. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Would Christ speak even one word of His own, on His own, of Himself? He wouldn't. He only spoke what His Father gave Him to speak. All of His words were His Father's words. All of His works were His Father's works. He says this again in John chapter 8, and notes that this would be particularly demonstrated in His death on the cross. John chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." So what about His words? Well, again, He said, as the Father taught Him, He would speak those things. He spoke nothing of Himself. What about His deeds? He did always those things that pleased His Father, and He did nothing of Himself. Now, He said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He and that I do nothing of Himself, of myself. When He was lifted up on the cross, when Jesus went to the cross, if there was ever going to be a time in His life when He was going to depart from His Father's will and say, okay, now I'm going to do my own will, Well, what would his own will have been at that time? He prayed to the Father on that night just before they came to get him, to lead him to his trials that would endure through the rest of that night and into the following morning, and then to his scourging and his crucifixion, his death on the cross, a cruel and horrible death when he had done nothing but his Father's will in his life. Well, he was praying that that cup would pass from him if it were his Father's will. But as he's prayed, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He would not do anything of himself, even at that moment. It was not his Father's will for that cup to pass from him, but for him to drink that cup and go to the cross when he had done no wrong. Well, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, emphasizes that humility that Christ had, that humble mind, reflected in his obedience to that point of dying on the cross. Again, as Jesus said, when he was lifted up, we can see that he did nothing of himself ever. He only and always did his Father's will and what pleased his Father. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, how much further could he take his obedience than that? If he would not do anything of himself at that point, when would he? Well, of course, the answer is he wouldn't at any point. He didn't at any point. He took it as far as it could be taken. His obedience to his Father, humbling himself to do his will. And for that reason, verse 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, we don't need to only confess that. We need to submit to him as our Lord, our authority, by doing as he did and letting that same mind be in us, which is what he commands there in verse 5. He's telling us about that, not just so we can admire it from a distance, but so that we can follow those same steps and do nothing of ourselves, but that we would only and always do what pleases our Father, following in the obedient steps of Christ. Jesus Christ did all of his Father's will. He only did what was good in his life and did all of what his Father gave him to do. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, we see a summary of the life of Christ given here. Acts 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But look at that statement there. He went about doing good. Well, that's his life. That's what he did. He went about doing good, the Father's will. And that's all he did in his life. In John chapter 4, verses 31 and 34 through 34, this was his food to do that. As we're reading here from John 4, 31 through 34, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he answered and said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, it said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That was his food. That's what he lived for, to do and finish the work that his Father gave him to do his will. That was it. That's what Christ lived to do. He came to finish his Father's work. Now, earlier, what did we read in John 17 and verse 4? On that very last night on the earth, what did he say? I have finished the work that you gave me to do. So he came to do and to finish that work, and he did finish that work. He did all of his Father's will, and only his Father's will. Chapter 5 and verse 30, John 5 verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Again, he did nothing of himself, but he came to do his Father's will, and that's all. And that's what he did. John chapter 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And we're not here to do our own will either, but the will of the Father that Christ also did. And we have been called to walk in His steps and do the works that He did as He was doing His Father's works. Let's look at John chapter 14 and verse 31. John 14, 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So Christ's life is a demonstration to the world that He loved His Father. Well, how do we know He loved His Father? Well, as it says, as the Father gave Him commandment, even so He did. So how was it demonstrated that He loved His Father? Because He kept His Father's commandments and did His will and wouldn't do anything of Himself and did all that His Father commanded Him to do and finished His work. Well, how do we show that we love God? Well, what the same chapter, verse 15, what does it say there? Jesus said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. So as Christ's life demonstrated His love for His Father by doing His Father's will, how do we demonstrate that we love God and that we love His Son, Jesus Christ? By keeping His commandments, doing the very same thing. Those are the works that Christ did. Those are the works that we have been called to do also. And Jesus asked in Luke 6 and verse 46, why call you Me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? What would be the purpose of our calling Him our Lord if we're not going to submit to Him and do what He has commanded? Then we don't really love Him. And those words are empty words. We have to follow in His steps and do His Father's will as He did. Let's look at John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. We see a lot of this teaching about the works of Christ here in the Gospel of John. In chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, then said they unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And we have to give them some credit here that at least they were acknowledging that there was a requirement and a need to do the works of God. And that's a step many don't even make it to today. But we need to make it to that point and ask the same question. But then we need to listen to the answer that Christ gave and actually do that, which He said in verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. Now there are some that might like that, at least if they could leave it at that. But if you actually examine it, faith itself is defined by Christ as a work, as doing something. I mean, how do we separate belief from action? Well, we can't properly do so as we began our study this morning. The first scripture we looked at in James 2, 18 through 20, brought that point to us and made it very clear that faith without works is dead. We have to show our faith by our works, by obeying God. Well, Jesus said the work of God is to believe in Christ. But that belief in Him has to be carried forth into following in His steps. As He did the works of God, we must do the works of God by following in the steps of Christ and obeying His commandments. 1 Peter chapter 2, let's read verses 19 through 21. 1 Peter 2, 19 through 21. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Now, as we mentioned at the outset, there are many directions that we could go with this study, and it would behoove us to take the time on our own together to dig into these particular or specific works that Christ did, those steps that He walked, the things that His Father commanded Him to do that He did. All of those things that Christ did were in accordance with God's will and served a purpose, and many of those things we can look at as things to learn from, different things about saving the lost, loving our brethren, showing compassion and mercy to others, and all the things that Christ did, including enduring sufferings for righteousness' sake. And those different aspects are all studies of themselves. But here, Christ left us an example that we should follow in His steps. So it's the work of God that we believe in Him but we have to follow in his steps. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10. Some might say, well, that's impossible. We can't really follow in the steps of Christ and do the works of God. Well, that's many might say that or think that, but that we don't want to think that or say that because it's not correct. Look at 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 10. Now, if Timothy come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Timothy was doing the work of the Lord. We can even read later in the book of Philippians how it says there was no one that Paul had that was like-minded. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Timothy only sought the things that were Jesus Christ. He did the work of God. There's another example from a young man. And Paul said, as I also do, which is why we're commanded to follow Paul as he followed Christ. We have some excellent examples of other Christians in the New Testament, old and young, that did the work of God by following in the steps of Christ and doing his will. We can do that, and we must do that. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, how much knowledge of God's will do we need to have? Well, he says we need to be filled with it in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What's the point of being filled with the knowledge of God's will with all wisdom and spiritual understanding? It's so that we can then walk worthy of him unto all pleasing. So we need to know all of his will and understand it so we can do all of that as Christ did. And that's what we have been called to do, walking in his steps. Mark chapter 7 and verse 37, again, this is a beautiful summary of the life of Christ. It says, he hath done all things well. And may that also be said of us, that we in our lives will have done all things well. By walking in the steps of Christ, by doing the works of God, nothing of ourselves, saying nothing of ourselves, but only doing and always doing what pleases the Father. By finding the steps of Christ and his commandments and walking in them in all things in our lives. If you have not yet begun to do that, this is an opportunity for you this morning to begin those steps of walking in the steps of Christ by believing in him, doing that work of God. And the first commands to do out of faith in him is to become a child of God by obeying the gospel of Christ, to repent and to be baptized into him for the remission of your sins, confessing your faith in him before men unto salvation. We find those scriptures, Romans 10, 9 and 10, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Galatians 3, 27, and many others. But those are the things that God has commanded us to do in order to be his child and to put on Christ and to have the remission of our sins. Are you ready to obey his gospel this morning? We're ready to assist you in that if you are ready to do what he has commanded you to do. And we're encouraging you to come forward at this time and to hear his invitation and respond to it. And if you are a Christian, if you've not been doing the works of God and following in the steps of Christ as you should in your life, this is an opportunity for you to repent and make things right with him. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, please come forward now as we stand together and sing.